The new novel by Susan Isaacs is called Long Time No See. For some of her fans, including book critic Maureen Corrigan, any length of time is too long to go without an Isaacs novel.
This past August was a dead time for books, but deliverance from literary despair has arrived with the splashy start of the fall publishing season. Already, the first book scandal has erupted. That business about Faye Weldon selling product placement space in her new novel to the jewelry firm Bulgari. The Authors Guild immediately protested this crass crossbreeding of high art with the commercial. But I don't think there's anything to worry about. Once Bulgari and other curious companies look at the low sales figures for literary novels, like the kind Weldon writes, they'll realize that advertising in literature is akin to advertising on Antarctica. The most telling line in the story the New York Times ran about the piece was that the chief executive of Bulgari, who originally came up with the idea of literary product placement, has never read any of Weldon's books. Along with the debut scandal comes the first sublimely good read of the fall, Susan Isaacs' Long Time No See. Isaacs is in that exclusive niche, occupied also by Maeve Binchy, of masterful writers for whom storytelling is not a shameful artistic act. If I ran the world, Isaacs would be showered with all those hoity-toity literary prizes that so far have been denied her. I can think of no other novelist, popular or highbrow, who so consistently celebrates female gutsiness, brains, and sexuality. She's Jane Austen with a schmear, or Philip Roth without the woman problem and the self-absorption. She's certainly their equal, if not in felicity of phrasing, then in her shrewd and hilarious social observations. Isaacs' trademark first-person narrators, usually lower-middle-class Jewish women who've married up, are quintessential insiders-outsiders, and thus brilliantly positioned to offer canny takes on everything from WASP speech patterns to designer Tampax holders. But Isaacs hasn't gotten the literary respect she deserves because her strengths are also her weaknesses. She's a plus-size storyteller in an age when, narratively speaking, thin is in and rumination is valued more than plot. Also, many of her books are shelved, however haphazardly, within the disparaged category of detective fiction. I think the real answer to Isaacs' image problem, however, is that she leaves her readers, her female readers especially, feeling too happy. A writer's reputation usually sinks in inverse proportion to the degree she or he raises their readers' spirits. The optimistic moral of Isaacs' collected works is that down-to-earth, over-the-hill, funny women who are nothing special in the looks department can solve the crime, find true love, and/or defeat the Nazis if only they summon up enough pluck. Long Time No See is sure to win Isaacs more adoration from the masses and further scorn from the Academy. Sequels, after all, are among the lowliest of all literary genres, and Long Time No See is a sequel to Isaacs' first novel, the 1978 bestseller Compromising Positions. Yippee! That means the return of one of Isaacs' most beloved heroines, Judith Singer, the Shore Haven, Long Island, stay-at-home mother of two with a nose for danger. A sequel also means the return of Judith's best friend, that boozy Southern Belle man-trap, Nancy Miller, and Nelson Sharp, the dreamy homicide detective who ignited illicit sparks in Judith's bosom when he first stepped into her suburban Tudor living room. Nelson, we learn, has been out of Judith's life for decades. They ended their affair out of consideration for their kids. A lot else has changed. Judith is now 54 and a widow. Her overbearing but not completely awful husband died of a heart attack 2 years before this story opens. Judith has gotten her PhD and is teaching history at a local college. Her situation, that of a youngish widow still pining for an indifferent husband, allows Isaacs the opportunity to ruefully dramatize the loneliness of bright women rendered invisible by their age and the absence of a male partner. What lifts Judith out of her grief and maneuvers Nelson into her life again is yet another Shore Haven murder mystery. Courtney Logan, a former investment banker, wife, and mother of two toddlers, disappeared on Halloween night. Her body is eventually found in the family swimming pool. Courtney's husband is the police's prime suspect, but as of old, Judith can't help second-guessing the professionals. Along with discovering the identity of the murderer, Judith also finds out, with Nelson, that love is indeed lovelier the second time around. Beyond its wit and smart social observations, and the pleasure its central second-chance fantasy offers readers, Long Time No See also serves as a casual but unsettling commentary on the triumphs and shortcomings of the second wave of feminism. Compromising Positions was first published in the heady days of the women's movement. Young Judith's consciousness was raised, but her resolve was weak. She still cooked Bob's dinner every night while confronting killers. Long Time No See gives us a sadder but more self-possessed Judith, one who earns her own living and refrains from rushing into another serious relationship with a man. At the same time, the younger women around Judith seem to have taken two steps back. In an alcohol-fueled discussion about feminism, her friend Nancy says to Judith, "I don't understand all these stay-at-home moms you're speaking to. What do they do? Remember jobs, Judith? Remember all those husbands in 1972, yours and mine included, who said, 'My wife isn't going to work,' and how we stood up to them and that idiot mentality. So what are all these women doing home?" That larger mystery about women's lives and the price of fulfillment remains unsolved. But in Long Time No See, a fully evolved Judith Singer seems to have achieved the two things that Freud said were necessary for happiness: work and love.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed Long Time No See by Susan Isaacs. This is Fresh Air.